Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
It's my pleasure, my honour to be able to share just a brief word with us tonight. And I also just want to welcome our online listeners as well, who might be tuning into this. Great to welcome you. And we are continuing in our season. We call it a season of humility, repentance, and prayer. And it's been a great season so far. It's been very special. Some great things the Lord is doing. And I want to focus on that last part, which is around prayer. And if there's anything I want you to remember tonight, it's this verse from Colossians 4, verse 2. Is that for me? Great. That's fine. Thank you. Colossians 4, 2. So very short verse, and this is what it says. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Very short verse, only 8 words or so, but maybe difficult to consistently and constantly live out every day. And I know as I've thought about this verse this week, as I've reflected on it myself, I know there'll be moments where it's easy. Prayer seems very easy. And there'll be other moments where it seems like a challenge. I don't know if you have the same thing that I do. There's a battle that goes on every single day to press in, to listen to our Father and to pray and to worship and so on. And I can only assume that is a similar wrestle for each of us as we think about that. I wonder if your experience is the same as mine. There will be moments where it feels like, if I can label it this way, there's extraordinary prayers. There's something, there's a rising of faith, there's a filling of the Holy Spirit. There's kind of powerful moments of prayer. And then on the other hand, my prayers feel very ordinary or something like that. Or there's things vying for my attention and I can't get rid of those things. Or my prayers feel like they're hitting the ceiling and falling back down to earth. Am I alone in this tonight? Do some of you experience this? Oh, that's good. Not so good, but that's good that we can agree on that. But that's the case, isn't it? And yet, here's this verse before us that we've got to wrestle with in totality of our devotion to prayer. And it's so emphatic and so strong in this text, as we'll look at that tonight, and to make every effort so that our prayers don't end up waning or petering out. And that's always a danger. Since we're a smaller group tonight, I want us just to interact around this topic, and I want you to think about one or two things. Identify one or two things that kind of stops you or maybe holds you back, or it's a temptation that gets the better of you sometimes when it comes to prayer, or is an issue that stops you from being devoted to prayer. And I want you to just identify one, maybe two things, and I want you to be bold and to share that with someone else here tonight. All right? You're only going to get a minute each. So let's do that right now. Just in pairs, one or two things that stops you from praying. Okay. So I noticed a lot of people were sharing together, so that's great. So I'm guessing you have identified some things. I'm not going to get you to shout that out, all right, what that might be, but I just want you to hold on to that for a little bit later. But I wonder if you might have shared things like, it's too busy, or I'm too hard, or I don't feel like it. Sometimes I'm too tired, too disappointed with God maybe. I don't feel like praying with others. In fact, I'm scared of praying with other people. That could be one thing. My family comes first, or it's too cold to come out and pray with the church. It might be too inconvenient, or right through to the enemy stops me in my tracks sometimes. It's healthy to identify what that is. All right, and just to be honest with God about that and say, Lord, help us, give us strength, give me grace in that matter. Here's a different take on this verse from the New King James Version. It says, continue earnestly in prayer. I like that. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. What I want to do is I just want to take those three phrases and I want us just to unpack that together tonight and work backwards. First one there, be thankful, or fill our prayers with thanksgiving. It's a strong encouragement to be thankful to God, expressing gratefulness to Him for His benefits and for His many, many blessings. And it's important to be thankful in the good times, especially so, I think, in the tough times. Something in the tough times, when we give thanks to God, takes our perspective or our perception out of the pit and puts our focus on God. You know, Paul was writing this letter from prison. If anyone could say it, he could. He could call the church to give thanks. And he was writing this from prison and called them to that. And it's a declaration that we serve an almighty God who's in control over every detail of our life. Do you believe that? He's in control over everything. He's the sovereign Lord. And say amen to the fact the joy of the Lord is our strength. And something about thanksgiving begins to provide a wonderful atmosphere of prayer. Notice whenever we pray together and someone begins to give thanks and you begin to go, yeah, I can say amen to that thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty hard, actually, isn't it? But to be thankful in our disposition to know that God is in charge. There's a great story by Jeff Strite called Be Thankful. I've kind of edited this bit a little bit because the facts are a little bit disputed, but some of it I've edited to be true. And it's a very interesting story because back in 1988, there was a Polish railway worker by the name of Jan Grabecki. He was actually hit by a train. He managed to live, but only just barely, spent 4 years in a coma and 19 of those years incapacitated. And when he awoke to a new world. In 1988, when he was hit by the train, the problem at that time was a communist state. And he noted that back then, could you imagine this? All you could get in the shops were tea and vinegar, and meat was rationed in huge lines every day. But Poland broke free of communism in 1989, and he awoke to a free nation where he noticed there were so many goods in the shop. He couldn't believe it. No longer just tea and vinegar. Ever been to the shops and it hasn't got what you want? You ever grumble about that? You don't have to tell me. It's okay. But as he noticed and as he got into society, the puzzling thing for him was that these people had everything, but they never stopped complaining. These people had freedom and food and wealth greater than Poland had had for decades, yet Grabecki woke from his coma to find that all they seemed to want to do was to grumble. I think it's a reminder to us to get into the habit of thanksgiving. I think thanksgiving, thanking God for what we do have, we may become ungrateful because of what we don't have. And I think just having that focus of gratefulness and a thankful heart at least stops us from that danger, thanking our wonderful Lord. So thanksgiving is half of the equation. The other half is to be watchful. I love how the message puts this. Pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Stay alert with your eyes wide open. I like that. It's the idea of really just being awake, staying awake, not sleeping or getting into a stupor in prayer, or be vigilant, be in continuous readiness to pray in the Spirit with all kinds of requests. It's a bit like the watchmen who used to be on the Jerusalem wall, and they used to be parked all around the Jerusalem wall. Their job, really, at the end of the day, was to watch and not fall asleep through the middle of the night. And they would watch for any front-on attack that would come and then alert the authorities and the people if there was such a thing. In prayer, it's an important goal to remain in a constant state of readiness, waiting for the Lord to speak or move accordingly. And I think praying diligently and earnestly helps us to do that. The scriptures highlight a number of things that we are to watch for. Things like we are to watch that there's no discord or disunity. We are to watch for false teaching, those sort of things. Or watch for the signs of Christ. We're to be alert for the devil's activity. And it's a 24/7 thing, developing, as Dick Eastman, who wrote the book, has a great little book, it's about that thick or thin, called The Hour That Changes the World. And in it, he talks about what it means to develop holy alertness. And I think that's a great thing. If you sometimes wake in the middle of the night with an incredible burden to pray, I think that's part of this idea of watching and holiness, holy alertness, and so on, and sensing that burden of the Holy Spirit. As we think back to Jesus' disciples, they actually missed a moment to do this. Remember the story on the eve of his crucifixion? Jesus, he leads his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. He asks them to watch and pray. And he prays that his cup be taken away from him. And it was an incredible burden Jesus was experiencing. And remember, after Jesus prayed, he found his disciples sleeping. And he said these famous words, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he also asked them the question, "Could you not watch for 1 hour?" It's important, friends, I think, to watch that the human nature and body, which is prone, let me just say it this way, it's prone to weak praying. It is. That we have to watch that temptation. You remember the thing, one or two things you identified beforehand? And those things that you identified that might stop you, or it's a temptation in your prayer life, they're the things to actually watch in the moment as you brought those to light tonight. We are to grow in holy alertness and be watchful in prayer. And this increases the burden for intercession. A great illustration by Davin Huss about, and I love reading up on missionaries, it's one of my pastimes, but there was a missionary to India by the name of John Hyde. I think we've got a photo up there of him, or is there something there? Yep, keep going. Yep, stay with me, Mark, on that. John Hyde was this missionary to India, and he was kind of said that he wasn't kind of this remarkable guy. He's pretty slow in his speech, wasn't really listening, those sort of things. And he got a letter from his friend. As he's travelling on the ship, he opens this letter and says, "The thing that you need for your missionary service is to be baptised in the Holy Spirit." And he took great offence at that. He screwed up the note and threw it on the deck. He says, "How dare," he says, "I'm not baptised in the Holy Spirit." And then he kind of humbled himself and began, well, maybe I've got something to learn. And he began to learn to pray in the Spirit all of that journey on that ship to India, to Punjab, actually in Pakistan now. And years later, John Hyde would become to be known as the Apostle of Intercession of India. He often cried out, "Father, give me these souls or I will die." And he alternated in agony of intercession and joyous praise, receiving tremendous answers to prayer. And by the end of his missionary service, he was averaging more than 4 souls a day. I think, wow. And they were largely won through prayer. I think, Lord, if you did it back then, you can do that now. Averaging 4 souls, that's just an average. I thought, when I read about these guys, I've got to say, they inspire me. They inspire my faith and they inspire me to pray. And I hope it does for you too. It's not about duty. We're asking God for a mighty outpouring of His Holy Spirit in our time. Be watchful, be thankful. And here's the last phrase. Be devoted to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Often when we think about yourselves, we often take that as individual. There is a personal application, no doubt. But when Paul was writing this, it's actually to the community to pray together. It's a, in some ways, better translation, devote ourselves to prayer, to praying together. Devote is this kind of idea to constantly do something with intense effort and to keep on persisting in it. So when we don't feel like praying, that's the moment where we can choose to keep persisting in prayer. What's the normal response when someone says to you, how was your week? How are you going? Either good or?
Not bad.
That's not the answer I was looking for, not bad. You ever heard someone say they're busy? Never. I hear that all the time. I'm busy. In fact, I say it a lot as well. I wonder if we could get into the habit of saying, actually, we're busy in prayer. It's been a great week. We're busy in prayer. Because that's what actually being devoted to prayer is, being busy in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying, never give up, keep persisting in it. And here's the thing I'm asking myself and I'm asking us as a family of believers, what does it mean for us to move to a place of extraordinary prayer? What does extraordinary prayer look like? I want to give you some insights from these missionaries. We've heard one from India. Here's another missionary by the name of David Brainerd, who was a missionary to the American Indians. He wrote in his diary, "I set apart this day for fasting and prayer to prepare me for the ministry. In the afternoon, I felt a power of intercession for immortal souls, and God enabled me so to agonize in prayer that I was quite wet with sweat, though it was a very cool day. My soul was drawn out very much for the world. I gasped for the multitude of souls. I think I had more enlargement for sinners than for the children of God, though I felt as if I could spend my life in cries for both." That's extraordinary praying. It's something God does in our prayer life if we're open to Him and He opens us up to the way He wants us to pray, His intercession. I find it inspiring. I love these guys. They challenge my faith. They challenge my prayer life when I think about them. And the beautiful thing is we are filled with an extraordinary person. Would you agree with that? He's extraordinary. He's amazing. And if we're filled with Christ, then extraordinary prayer is possible to flow out of each and every one of us. So here's my charge and word for us tonight, as we think about prayer personally, but particularly together, that we will devote ourselves to extraordinary prayer. This next week, what will that mean to devote ourselves to extraordinary prayer? People ask me to go to prayer meetings now. And I've often said, you know what I've said? I've often said, I just can't fit that in. I'm too busy. Mel and I have now decided to say yes every time, even if it's inconvenient. And God is doing something in our lives that's very special. It's a sacrifice, but I love it. And it's changing us. CCF invited us to come to prayer. I have to admit, Ron and Wendy, I've said no the first 4 weeks until the Lord said no. It's time to get busy in prayer. And we've really loved coming and praying for Care Christian Fellowship. It's been very, very special, seeking the direction of the Lord. What's the one thing the Lord's asking you to commit to tonight? Can I ask you to think about that and just share with the person next to you? What is the one application you're going to take out of tonight, out of this verse, and out of being an extraordinary prayer? I'll give you 1-2 minutes each. Let's do that right now. Just share with someone, what are you going to do this week? Amen, amen, amen. All right. So the application you have this week, if you can just be praying through the week for each other in that and follow through as God enables and gives you grace. Can I just add, remember our prayer nights? I advertised one of those, I think, Tuesday, 4th of July. They're great nights of prayer. Please prioritise those. And remember, every Sunday we pray at 4:15 out the back there. So thank you for those who are coming, but please make that a priority as well. I want to finish with one more example of what extraordinary prayer might look like for us tonight. Again, this author, Davin Huss, speaks of the great minister, John Knox. He was a 1500s minister, quite a colourful character, fiery character, often at odds with Queen Mary at loggerheads, but he constantly carried a burden for his land. Night after night, he prayed on the wooden floor of his hideout refuge from Queen Mary. When his wife pleaded with him to get some sleep, he answered, "How can I sleep when my land is not saved?" Payne reports that often Knox would pray all night in agonising tones, "Lord, give me Scotland or I will die." God shook Scotland. God gave him Scotland. Amen. These guys inspire us, like I said before, and it gives us a glimpse of what God did in the past, he can do today. We are in this season of humility, repentance, which is good for the soul, and prayer. The best is yet to come. Let's follow through, friends. Let's follow through on this and see what the Lord will do. And we trust he'll do that. I want to pray. I want to ask Carol and Mel to come up. They're going to share a song, and we're going to move into a time of breaking bread, sharing the cup together, which Matt will lead. Why don't we stand together and just let me pray as we transition. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the presence of the Lord here tonight. And Lord, we cry out to you tonight as we've identified those things that may hinder us in our prayer life. Lord, give us grace this week. Give us your help in time of need to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And I want to pray for anyone who's heard this message and will hear this message during the week. Lord, you will take our praying to a whole new level of extraordinary. Not by our strength or our own will or our own human power, but by the Spirit of God and by the power of God and by the Holy Spirit, we ask for that. And Lord, this week, may we tap into the Spirit-filled intercession. Jesus, you're interceding for us now. We thank you so much. So, Lord, help us in this manner. And I just thank you for this wonderful season you have us in at this time. Lord, take us further, take us deeper. It's not for us, Lord, it's for your kingdom's sake. And, Lord, I would love to think that maybe, not just maybe, but I want to pray it, that we would have the experience of these missionaries past, who, Lord, saw many people come into the kingdom of God. Would you do that in our time? We can't do it, Lord. Our outreach is okay, it's good, but Lord, it's nothing without you. We need you, Lord, and we ask for that tonight, and we praise you for what you've done, in Jesus' name. We all said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.